017 Thursday night, Chaydus Halvavus. Thursday night, 017 Chaydus Halvavus. Okay. Daf Kuf Ayin Zion. The last paragraph, Daf Kuf Ayin Zion. At the end of the previous paragraph, at the end of Perek Daled, the Chaydus Halvavus said there are two approaches the Yetzer Hara takes. He made two categories out of it. Again, the Perek Daled. One is to just involve us in Olam Hazeh and weaken our Emunah just by, not with heavy intellectual arguments, but just by, like light stuff. Maybe it's not true, maybe you should be involved, you'd get covered, it seems more purposeful. That was the Chelek HaRishon as he described at in Ba'arichos up till now. Now he's moving into Chelek Sheni, what he described at the end of Perek Daled as Chelek Sheni, which is a more intellectual approach, a more sophisticated approach. And the last time we learned, I mentioned that this was more common, perhaps, in past days, in the days of the Rishonim, in the days when the Chelek HaLevavos was written, in the days when the Moreh Nevuchim was written. So people were really very heavily into philosophy, and into proving this and proving that, and what seems to us perhaps boring, or we don't really understand the hechrich in it, or the intellectual stimulation to be gained from these almost arcane like arguments and debates, but it was definitely the mahalach of thinking in those days. And even nowadays, you know, we're not so familiar with, maybe some of us are, with missionaries who intellectually try to prove, quote unquote, from the psukim themselves, as we'll be seeing in the Chaydus Halvavus, Ali Bavarn's, such approaches of, you know, debating and proving intellectually, or trying to show intellectually. So you have that parsha, you know, against Torah, against Yiddishkeit. You have that idea. Then you have the whole debate of science. You know, if there's a conflict between science and Torah, and you have, I mean, the almost visceral negativity towards evolution and towards everything that came in its wake is because it was used as a banner for atheists and for Abdikursim to be kaifer in Hashem as the first Siba of everything. Whether that's mukhrach or not is not for tonight's discussion and not for discussion for Chaydus Halvavus year. But you have to realize that it was definitely used as the battering ram to sort of clear HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kvayachal out of the picture. And that's why there's almost like a visceral reaction to anything that smacks of an accommodation with it is probably for that reason. So it is sort of nogea nowadays what the Chaydus Halvavus will now launch a whole explanation, an arichus of how the Yetzer Hara can be machzel someone through intellectual debates, through intellectual proofs and rayas, etc. And he says, "Avolam hoya ha'adam yodei asher sendes so rasul." Someone that's more intellectual minded, and he has a knowledge of Hashem, a knowledge of Torah. So yizom yetzer, that's the plan, plot, hazoma, right? Kasher hazoma. Yizom hayetzer lahavi olam b'sahetzed v'habilbul. The limudo umasov in his learning, in his emuna, in his actions, b'derech ha'ochahavaraya, in a more sophisticated way, through so-called proofs, through so-called kashas, through so-called questions, and, you know, how can this have happened? There's no record of it, and, you know, whether it's the Mabul, the Yitzias Mitzrayim, or Maimon Har Sinai, there's all sorts of nonsense out there. And it looks very intellectually stimulating, and So he'll try to do that. Mikoma she'ef shelo, whatever he can get into, whether it's min hamoskol, meaning logic, pure logic, rationality, or vahakosuv, saying that the psukim can possibly mean what they say, or vahamosur, which is Torah Shabbalpeh, which is the Masorah, and he'll try to, again, intellectually show that this is not possible, and this couldn't be, and this couldn't have existed, and it couldn't have happened this way, and had a chokes, and had a other start, and how could it have been Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra, all this nonsense that hopefully no one knows what I'm talking about. V'yochiach es mashehu mancha elov, and he'll, so to speak, prove what he'll take as a premise, b'hochochos dimyonios, with false proofs, with you know, like if a missionary goes over to someone that's not knowledgeable in Tanakh, or Gemara for that matter, and he'll say this pasuk, you know, so that's how they catch people who are not sholem in their emuna, or people who are not so knowledgeable, and they'll, you know, they don't say this pasuk indicates this, and this pasuk shows this, and we have virtual proof from this pasuk, and even Chazal admitted it because they said this and that. These are things that exist nowadays. There's books, there's websites, there's blogs, there's all sorts of things out there that have proofs, dimyonios, which if you're to an unsuspecting, innocent person, it could be matel safek. It's also to read these things, it's also to talk to them. It could be matel, you know, taka, you know, okay, I believe, but, you know, sort of, you know, it worms its way in. And you say, hey, taka, how could that be? Build seats, but if so, sort of, as we said last time, the Chazal Davis really would prefer that people be intellectually equipped to refute everything they're saying, and to realize that their premises are false, or, right, when you have a logical argument, a guy says, a guy builds a whole tower of proof, so, but he's making, everything's built on one hanocha, on a premise, and the whole premise could be false. And he, like, just stuck it in, and you don't realize that the whole thing is false, because the foundation's false. He made a premise that's false. Or, sometimes the premise could be true, but the logic could be false. And if you're not trained in that discipline, archaeology, or, you know, whatever, fossils, all this stuff, if you're not trained in it, and you read it, it sounds very impressive. And the printed word is very powerful. And, you know, there's even an article about it in Science Today of June 1999. Oh, an article. Wow. Must be true. We do the same thing with newspapers every day. Say, it must be true. It says it in the newspaper. So, Biltzi Totskos Biyosodo Sehen, the premises are false. The Lochiyuvius Petotso Sehen, that's the other way of demolishing an argument. Either the Yesodos are not true, the premise are not true, and the Lochiyuvius Petotso Sehen. You know, if A equals B, you know, you say, if Reuven's taller than Shimon, and Shimon's taller than Levi, so then Reuven's taller than Levi. So that's true. But the premise might be false, that Reuven's not taller than Shimon. Or you say, if Reuven likes Shimon and Shimon likes Levi, then Reuven likes Levi. So that all could be true, the premises, but the logic is not true. It doesn't follow. So that's the two ways in which they're really presenting false arguments. Either the premises are not true, that's built itself goes be a sodo sayen, or the lochiyuvius betotso sayen. The logic doesn't follow through. So, the Chodesh Halovos would prefer if you're strong and you have a clear head, and your knowledge is strong in debating methods, what constitutes proof and what constitutes logic, and you know that they teach these things, there's such a thing like logic 101, debating tactics. If you're up on it, you could chat that the guy just said something that may or may not be true. And who said that's true? But he finally has the heroes going, you know how to be careful not to be caught in a debate, to lose, you know, you could lose a debate based on matan vikuach. So then, to gala nekudos tos, yitzricha, you'll expose them. You'll say, oh, that the word doesn't mean that. And who said, just because this fossil layer is here, and this is here, who said that means, like, who said? Because that's just the premise that everybody, I told you, I saw this book about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. I picked it up, and so the guy, the archaeologists, I think I said it over, like they can't, his time couldn't have happened, because it couldn't have happened in this memshal of the Mitzrayim, and it couldn't have happened in this memshal of the Mitzrayim. It sounds wonderful and it sounds terrible and oh my goodness, but then the whole thing is based on a premise that they take the different names of different historical pharaohs and they assume that they're different people, which is a perhaps logical assumption if it's different names, but it's clear that the pharaohs all had different names, all had the same people had different names. They took on different names for various reasons. We know about Paro. They all took on the name of Paro. But all them, a lot of their names, they just took on. And once you say that, so like, oops, there goes 600 years, and there goes 800 years, and all of a sudden it makes a lot of sense. It's here, what's trying to happen here. So this guy wrote a book showing this. So I was just struck by the... I didn't read the whole thing, I didn't read it carefully. That's what the Chavis HaLavis is talking about, but that's really the ideal thing to do, is to be able to contest them on their own grounds. We shouldn't do that. It's also to do that if you're not equipped. It's also, it's Mamash Asur, and it's very dangerous. As the Chavis HaLavis will now go on to say, this is the first half he's saying. If you're equipped, and you know debating tactics, and you know the subject matter, and you know their tricks, and you know what's a given and what's proven and what's speculation, and they're just saying it over as a given truth. So get in there and fight. So as I'm saying, I was reading this book, so I was just struck by the ease in which he demolished like a whole binion of caches just by pointing out that different names could be the same people by the pharaohs. Like the whole thing like collapsed like a deck of cards once you realize that. I don't claim to be knowledgeable of these in Yom. Yeah. I picked up this book and I cursorily read it through, and this part struck me. That's all. It struck me that the whole thing collapsed like a deck of cards when you demolish the Hanukkah, then it's different people. And he demolished it very clearly. I mean, it seemed clear, you know. I'm not getting into, you know. Again, I'm a product of nowadays. Nowadays we believe it because we have emuna, and we're not interested in these sophistries. Well, most of us aren't. And in the Chavis HaLavis' world, most people were. But nowadays also, they're out there. And the people that are involved in Kiruv will tell you that they're a force. There's websites, I say, there's blogs, there's people that are always questioning every piece of emunah we have with seeming intellectual quote unquote proofs or kashas. I think I said over the famous. I'm sure I said it over. I'll say it again. From it said over from the Chaim, the Chaim Elojah. You know, the guy asked him a bunch of kashas, so he didn't give him any answers. So then this Talmidim asked him, you know, why he says, I can only answer questions. The guy is not asking me questions, he's giving me answers. Why he acts the way he does, why he became not from. So he's giving me terutzim. For terutzim, I don't have terutzim. I only have terutzim for kashas. I don't have terutzim for terutzim. So, and that's many times what it is, as the Chavis HaLavis will now go on to say. So, al kuponim here, he says, so if you're ready to take them on to gala, you'll quickly, or you'll be able to expose, we know that it's a tos, so you'll expose what their tos is, tos yitzricha bira'ayosa v'hochochosa v'yizbar l'cho emes v'yizbar l'cho hanocho. And the Chavis HaLavis, as we said the last time we learned, Chavis HaLavis is in favor of that, because that's the whole yesod of the sefer is to engage the mind, the heart, and then to be not just to blindly follow, but to understand and to comprehend and to have the whole full picture of the Bria, of Hashem, of the mitzvahs. That's really why he wrote the Sefer, to stress those things. So that's what he prefers. We, it's very dangerous, because we're not trained in that, most of us aren't. So for us, but he lived in the age of the Mor Nebuchim. He lived in the age of the golden age of Spain, it was called, when the Moors, I think it's called, had Spain, and they encouraged philosophy and questions, and they gave a lot of freedom to Jews, relatively speaking, and it was a time of great intellectual ferment, one could say. So then people, and that's a famous Abarbanel or Yaivitz, that it was the Hamoinam, those that had simple emuna, that were expelled from Spain and were Omid ben Asoyim, and the intelligentsia, a lot of them, I don't know a lot of them, but a significant number of them, were not only ben Asoyim, precisely because of these problems that the Chavetz Chaim will be more in the next few lines. So, certainly, the Mahalach in the last few hundred years, you know, has been away from this. But as I say, nowadays, you have to, the Kira people have to deal with it, and it's out there. The missionaries have it, and those that are, you know, that are in the world of science and of archaeology and of, you know, evolution and all these nice, so they're into it, and they have questions. And certainly somebody should be equipped to answer them, but for that Mainam, it's not so necessary, and perhaps we're better off without it, because perhaps most people will not end up, we can't finish Maseches Bava Kamma, you know. So we certainly don't have time to learn Shas and Poiskim and philosophy and Mori Nevuchim and to be well versed in debating tactics, and you know, we run out of time before we make a couple siyumim. So it's like a joke, you know. We're very paltry up here, so we can't do these things. So most people can't. It's only individuals that can, or they devote themselves to it, and they're sort of moser nefesh to be a meratzim in Torah, and are ready to just get into these inyanim. And whether or not that's a good thing for them to do or not is something they have to deal with and ask their rabbeim, and that's a valid question. Whether, if there's a felt a need, there is a need for people that could debate people on their own, that could show the falsity of what goes on. So someone has to paskin that they should indeed get into the thick of the battle before they mole kreis on shas and paskin. Someone has to paskin that. Very difficult to do that, but we don't have the minds to do everything, to do it all. B'yizdakechu, so he says, but that's what the Chavetz Chaim prefer. That's why he talks like this. So if you're ready to take them on, b'yizdakechu yidiyosechom and asfekos, you'll be able to clear your. We're on the last line of Kutz Ayin Zayin. You'll be able to clarify and to clear your yedios men hasfekos u'ma'asecho men hashibushim. But the imkatzar yecholes atolakach, if you're not really holding by these things, then I'm afraid you're worse off than, because this yetzara, you're worse off than the people in the first chalek, whose yetzara got them involved in olam hazeh. So, you know, you struggle with that, and you try to break free. But if the Yetzirah gets into your seichel and gets in there and sakrums you, makes you crooked in your thinking, and you start seeing white, black, black, white, and having kashas, and you think you're being intellectually honest, and you think you're really delving into things, and really he's leading you astray because he's showing you questions alike, and you're not equipped to answer them, then Tia Hachshalot, we're on Kufayin Ches now, Tiyah hachshaloso oscha, his being, the Yitzhar is being machshal you, will be chamura, will be severe. Because now, you know, because Yisrael starts having questions, and you, ukvishoso oscha, and his capturing of you will be gluya, v'shultonu alecha mole, v'hakifo, you can explain each phrase, but we won't, v'hakifo oscha, and is surrounding you, v'niglecha umatzpuncha chamur, out in, like you'll have these fakers inside your head. They worm their way in, and you takas. You're searching for the truth. You say to yourself, and this doesn't seem to be true. Lefishu upono elecha, because this yetzirah goes to you, but often madoi in an intellectual fashion. V'noi b'cha b'derech ha'hochocha ha'miskabelas al daitcha. It seems very logical. He's using logic. He's using proofs. So you say, you won't even realize what's happening. And when that happens, and then he has you on his side, because you respect your seichel. We all respect our seichel. We all use our seichel for whatever we need. So if our seichel is telling us something, we almost automatically follow it, or at least, you know, we're ready to accept what our seichel tells us. Most people believe that we are rational creatures and we do what's rational. We can justify things we do and we can explain it. There's always a way to explain what you do. So the Yetzer Hara uses uses that characteristic of a person, that he feels his seichel is always correct. The ayozer bo negdecha, now he's using it against you. You rely on your seichel. So as I say again, as the doyers went on, so people really stopped engaging the Yitzhara on these grounds and just, you know, but straightforward, what we call the Muna Pshuta, became more of the norm for the club. V'chashe yigbar alecha, and as the Yetzirah gains control, and at the sfeikus that you have become, you start to think of them as vado'im, because he starts off with maybes, and perhapses, and how do you know, and it seems, and maybe, and probably, and perhaps. And then it becomes vaday, and it becomes manish vaday, until you think that it's as clear as the day. V'yishlok b'cha b'meshe ha-seichel ozer lo, seemingly, u'mesayo b'meshe hit'ohu, as he was mat to him to think, to assume certain facts. So now you think, you don't realize they're not even true. It's just a bunch of baloney. But it sounds good, so then you think the seichel is machayivit. Kadima be'emna val yadei ha-hadoya b'tzura sochocha. He was mad to you to think whatever. I don't want to give examples, because it's the whole thing. You think Philip Humayu, you know. But it will be b'tzuras halchacha. You'll think it's proven. He won't present it as just an outlandish apikurusish statement. He'll present it as a logical totsah from a construction of logic and proof. So yavircha meyosa hadarga, and he'll start off with things that hoysa kroiva la'emes v'tzad ha'sheker nistarba. Very wild. We'll start off with things that are 90% true, and there'll be 10% of falsehood in there. And by the time he gets through with you, El Sha'achareho, Asher Boho Emes Kochos, Vahashekher Meruba. Let's assume for a moment the evolutionary process. the way it's presented with their proofs. So a lot of their proofs have been exposed to be sheker. It was never true to begin with. And many of their ideas are outlandish and don't make sense. But they package it in a way that it sounds mukhrach. And then you start, and then people are nichshel in this. I know people, not a lot of people, as to say, most people are not interested in these things anymore. But there are people who start off reading and getting into these things, and then years down the road, they go slowly, 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 and then they say, I can't believe anymore. That's why it's so dangerous. That's why it's not really for the Hamon Ham, and that's why it's dangerous. At best, it's dangerous. That's at best. Many of the things are just plain false and sheker and should be ignored. But at best, it's dangerous. So you start off with 90% true and 10% false, and by the time he's finished with you, is shneder mimenu open ha'emes v'tia sheker muchlat. Just say, yashmitcha min olam v'yapilcha midargos gmul olam abo. Totally. Without the curses, with kfira in Ikrei Hadas, the tia, whether it's Hashkoch HaProtis or Schar Va'onesh or Achtus Elokim or the existence of Elokim, so to speak. I say so to speak because Hashem is the Mukhrach HaMetzis. Doesn't exist because we know He exists. He exists because He exists. We exist as a fact, as a bria. The Eibishter is makomu shalolam, the olam makomu. The tia yidiyas chalera lacha. So all your intellectualism has turned into a big trap that has caught you, because you engage them, you engage the Yitzhara, and he was, unfortunately, he outsmarted you. You think he was smarter than him, and he was smarter than you. The sich lacha became a sibel lachil yonecha. And this is what the pasuk says. These things didn't start nowadays. You know, these are psukim in Tanakh. He first brings out a pasuk in Yeshayahu. The pasuk before says, "Hoy ha'oimrim lo ra tov, la tov ra." Some im choshech l'or, v'or l'choshech. Some im mar l'mosok, v'mosok l'mor. And they hoy chachamim be'enehem, because they're coming with chachma, they're coming with logic. V'neged p'nehem nevonim. And they present themselves as intellectual people, people with books, with PhDs, with chachma. The Omar. Hine b'dvar Hashem ba'osu v'chochmas me'lohem, and then they replace it with seeming chochma. The Omar ki yisharim darkei Hashem. This whole idea that the mind of a person can be filled with Torah and with chochmas Hashem, and it can be filled with apikursus, intellectual apikursus. So that's the mind is the most chashuv part of a person. But on that it said also, Ki Yisharim Darkei Hashem, Tzadikim Yelchu Bo Poshim Yikoshu Bo. Pashtus, you know, we always say over the, people say over the pasuk, when things occur. So Tzadikim interpreted a certain way, and it's mechazik them, it has a good effect on them, and Rishoim, it has an opposite effect. But the Chavis Albovis is really talking, is interpreting the pasuk, I don't know how he interprets the word Darkei Hashem. But he's interpreting it as, I guess, a person's intellectualism, a person's ability to think and reason and understand and observe and draw conclusions from his observations. That's a tremendous koyach. Animals can't do that. So maybe he's interpreting Darkei Hashem in that sense, that that's a Darkei Hashem that he made and gave a person this ability to do it. So you have Sadiqim Yalku Bamu Poshim Yikoshim Bam. Poshim will use that matana, that tremendous gift from Hashem that separates a man from an animal, will use it. You can use it for the good, and you can use it for these terrible things to be marchik you from Hashem and from Torah. Okay. Thank you.